Thanks, Timothy. Thanks, Chris. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you. Thank you for the way that you address us and speak to us. Thank you for the you are the God who wants to be known by us. Help us to understand that and to learn more of you this day. Amen. Amen. So I wonder what we want for sort of each other. I wonder what this morning those of us who have come as supporters of Dottie want for Dottie in her life. One of the comments that people often say is, particularly a parent or a grandparent expressing a kind of desire or hope for their child or grandchild is, I just want them to be happy. I just want them to be happy, you know, to have a kind of happy life. And I wonder how we define that happiness, what that kind of means in terms of our hopes, dreams and expectations for what that actually might look like. It might be we go, well, actually, you know, it's not all about the money. So it must be a little bit about relationships and friends and those kind of things and family and maybe being happy in those kind of situations. It may be about going, well, actually, if they get a good education, then they're going to be happy. So I want them to have the kind of best education, the best kind of start in life that they can have. It may be that that translates into a kind of a good job, which makes that person happy. It may be that it still is about the money. It may be that it's about having enough money. J.D. Rockefeller, who was at one point the richest man on the planet, was once asked, how much money does it do you need in order to be happy? How much money do you need in order to be happy? And the richest man on the planet replied, going, always a little bit more. Which is really sad, isn't it? Really sad. It may be that we go, well, actually, what we want them to have is kind of a beauty. We want them to be able to kind of be an attractive, a beautiful person. And, of course, along with that comes lots of likes and followers on social media. You know, I need enough ticks and I need enough hearts and people saying they kind of like this post. Someone who's starting a new business the other day pointed out that I can't remember what the actual figure was, but let's go with something like this. They had something like a kind of 500,000 people had viewed this post, but they were starting a new business and said, they 500,000 people have viewed it. Said, but not a single person has bought anything yet. And sometimes there's a challenge, isn't there, about, you know, well, lots of people have liked this thing, but nobody's actually prepared to make any investment in it, whether that's an investment in a relationship or an investment in a business. Jesus says in that reading that Chris just read to us, that second reading, he says, I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. What an extraordinary expression. What an extraordinary offer. Jesus makes some outrageous claims about why he's come. And for those of us who gather here most Sundays, or gather in any church on most Sundays, or have any inkling or understanding of Jesus and are committed to him, then actually what we've discovered is that this is true. Jesus actually has come to offer us life, and life in all its fullness. And the psalmist, whoever wrote that Psalm 23, David, as far as we're aware, when writing Psalm 23, says about God himself, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. When I read that, you know, like there's so much technology out there and so many things to divert and distract you. You know, whether it's sort of Instagram kind of reels or, you know, YouTube shorts, or just even a kind of simple game. But especially for me, I'm someone who is very captivated by visual things. You know, I have a background as an artist, and so visual things capture me. I have a visual memory. I think visually. When I'm trying to have a conversation with people, sometimes I'll kind of, you know, draw a picture on a piece of paper because that's the best way I understand it. So visual things for me, whether that is kind of images, and screens are really kind of captivating to me. So when I'm in the middle of kind of preparing stuff, doing some serious admin, you know, that type of stuff that requires real focus? Yeah, that's the moment when you go, I'll just check this, or I'll just look at that. I've got a number of superpowers and gifts, and one of those prime superpowers and gifts is distractibility. okay, I can be so easily diverted and distracted. Now, none of you can relate to that at all, can you? So when I was doing The Lord's My Shepherd and thinking, well, hold on, and it just crossed my mind, of course, that actually, I mean, I've worked a little bit with sheep, but I don't know what your experience of sheep is. You might be thinking, well, my first thought about sheep is lamb is so expensive at the moment. And I think most kids, if you said to a kid today, you know, who works with sheep or who has sheep, their answer would just be, well, like, it's a farmer, isn't it, duh? And if you, you know, the familiarity with sheep is just not there anymore, is it? It's they're kind of grubby white things that live in a field, aren't they? But they're grubby at this time of year especially, because it's filthy out there, isn't it? And muddy at the moment. So our familiarity is not there. So for us to say the Lord is my shepherd, it doesn't really work, does it? So, of course, in this distracted moment of going, well, how else could we interpret this? AI comes to mind. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. It's like a black hole that you sink into. So, first of all, my first thought, well, what else could I put in there? And even this morning, while we've been singing some songs and stuff, I was going, why did I not just put in, the Lord is my Father? Please, could you write a version of Psalm 23 like that? Or, you know, the Lord is my friend or something, or my coach. Well, the first one I put in was, the Lord is my teacher. And then I remember what Archie does. So I put in, the Lord is my police officer. So you're ready for this? Okay. I mean, honestly, AI is so good, I don't know why I'm talking to you. Why wouldn't you just get the computer to do it? Let's just listen to this. The Lord is my police officer, okay? Now, what's going to happen now is you're all going to go home and put in your own thing, aren't you? You're going to go, the Lord is my midwife. I did try that one as well, Emma, by the way. It wasn't boring. It was just, it got confused. AI got confused. It's going, so is the midwife there for the baby or for the mother? And then it's going, well, it'd be far better if you put the Lord is my mother, because then actually we could talk. Yeah, anyway, it got confused. Here's the Lord is my, do you want to know? Yeah. Here is the Lord is my police officer. The Lord is my police officer. I am not unprotected. It's a good start, isn't it? And then it goes like this. He keeps watch over my streets and leads me through places of safety and rest. He calms what is restless within me. That's good, isn't it? Sort of talking me down from my angst. Okay, he guides me along lawful paths for the sake of justice. And even when I walk through the neighborhoods of danger and shadows fall close, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Your presence and your authority, they reassure me. You stand between me and harm in the presence of threat. You mark me as known and watch over and watched over. My confidence is restored. Surely protection and fairness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in safety under your watch forever. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Don't applaud, because that was AI, mate. All right? And that's going to just take my job, isn't it? I'm not sure how AI does police officer work, but it's a useful tool. It's a tool, okay? It's not the end of the world. There's someone actually in the room at the moment who was told by their work, just do everything by AI and see how you get on. We won't ask Chris how it's going. Right, now, it's really interesting, isn't it, this? I mean, I'll try and send this to you, Archie, because actually when you read it, you go, oh, wow, that's kind of like what I'd like to be like for Dotty, actually. But God offers to be not our police officer, but our shepherd. And by that, in many ways, that could be teacher, could be midwife, could be police officer, could actually be many, many other kind of service industry things. As we think about, well, how does this relate? And in this psalm, what we get is David, the author of the psalm, speaking about the way in which he both receives God and the way in which he is able to respond to God. So the first thing is, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not he could be, he might be. It's kind of the Lord is, that just God is. It's as simple as that to start with. And the second thing he then says is, I have all I need. In other words, I lack no good thing. The needs I have are supplied by God. The four basic human needs are actually love, security, significance, and purpose. Those are what psychologists agree are that essentially, I mean, sometimes they reduce it to three, but typically most go for the four, which is love, security, significance, and purpose. And God supplies those needs. And then it goes on like this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I don't know what refreshes you, can I just say, doom scrolling does not refresh me, okay? You do it for a few minutes and then you kind of go, I just feel really miserable now, why did I do that? Okay, but there are other things maybe that do refresh you. For many of us, we discovered, for those who can remember far back enough to COVID, we discovered that actually things like thankfulness was something that refreshed us. Just living a life, you know, an attitude of gratitude was something that brought refreshment to us. The other thing was being outside. Do you remember the kind of hour a day you're allowed to go out and how suddenly people discovered they had feet and could actually walk somewhere? It was a remarkable thing. People in this community here stopped using their cars. It was like they kind of went, whoa, look at this, I have legs, and they moved me and came out, and we sort of bumped into people from a 2 meter distance, of course. But suddenly discovered being in the outside refreshes us. That, by the way, is really important to me, getting out into grand vistas and views and seeing things of beauty. Just seeing carpets of crocuses at Wisley on Wednesday for us this week was just a beautiful thing and refreshes me. But the psalmist here is talking not just about those kind of things that refresh us, but talking about something even deeper. He's saying it's not just the creation, it's not just those kind of things that refresh me. It is actually interaction with God himself that refresh me. And I want to encourage us and encourage you guys, especially with Dottie. If she's going to grow up into that fullness of life, she's going to need to know who God is. And one of the ways to encounter him, hello Dottie, she's having a little look now. One of those ways to encounter him is through his word, the Bible. You've grabbed it, haven't you? You've got it there, look. Through the Bible. For me, the Bible is such a refreshing place to go. There's things in there that I don't quite understand. There's things in there that challenge me. But also what I read in there is about the power and the vastness of God's love. The power and the vastness of God's love. What I learn about is this God who offers himself to me, which is an extraordinary thing. And a kind of ridiculous thing, unless it's true. A ridiculous thing that the creator of the very universe, the one who lit the blue touch paper for the Big Bang, if that's what happened, and has kind of steered this world of extraordinary variety of life as it's spun through the universe, that actually this God is interested in me. And so there's something about needing for ourselves to find that refreshment. In Psalm 36, which comes obviously a little bit after Psalm 23, it's in numerical order, we read the psalmist there writing about God and says about him, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." That's where life and light are found. Jesus, in other of his what are known as the I am statements, not just I am the good shepherd, Jesus said about himself that I am the bread of life. I am actually what sustains you. He says, I am the light of the world, what gives, illumines our lives. He talks about being the resurrection and the life. He talks about being the way, the direction in which we can travel, and as we'll see in a moment, and the truth and life. He talks about being the true vine, the place that we can be rooted in order to find sustenance for our lives. And then the psalmist says this in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I wonder again, what gives you vision? What's your aspirations, your ambitions? What's your hopes, your dreams for the future? For us as Christians, one of the things that God holds before us is this, his cross. It's held before us because actually what it is a vision and a sign of God's amazing love. The fact that God loves us and cares for us. When the psalmist is writing here about two bits of wood, he's speaking about a rod and a staff. The rod is like the kind of weapon that the shepherd holds. It's a weapon to drive away the kind of animals that would come to attack the sheep. It's the weapon to drive away thieves who would come to steal. He's talking about that kind of protective thing. Just to hold on to something like that can make you feel kind of braver and give you a strength of confidence. And then the second thing that we read about is this staff. We see the staff here in the window. This is the classic sort of shepherd staff. We don't know whether when David was writing they used kind of hook staves like that. But the idea of the shepherd's crook is so that you can catch a sheep and drag it back to safety. The reason it mentions quiet waters here is because sheep are useless swimmers. They just tend to drown. And so actually when you take a sheep to drink, you dare not take it to a river because it's too risky, a fast flowing stream or something. So that's why it talks about the quiet waters that a shepherd will find for us. In other words, there's something about the safety that God offers us too. He offers us protection, but he also offers us a place of safety, of security, that love and that security, that significance and that purpose. And those two bits of wood, of course, can be taken, a rod and a staff, to form the shape of a cross. And Jesus, we read, gave his life for us upon a cross, the most supreme example of love ever. That somebody was willing to die for us. Somebody that we didn't even know, that to some extent we don't care about, other than until we discover who he is and what it is that he offers to us, that life everlasting. Jesus offers himself and his cross, the two bits of wood, as things to give us confidence, to inspire us, and things to walk towards, a vision of hope for the future. It's a central image for us as Christians. It's why when Dottie was here a few moments ago, we made the sign of the cross over her as a symbol of the way in which we encourage her to go. Jesus says to us, to each and every one of us, come. Come, let's reason together, he says. Jesus says, come, come, taste and see. Let's spend time together. Jesus says to us, come and find rest if you are weary. Jesus says, come and see and experience this life that you were made for, this life that is worth living, and this life which is for now and for eternity. Because the psalm finishes not just with life now, but life forever in the presence and company of God, the one who loves us and who made us to live. I want to encourage you to be thinking for you, Archie, and for Emma as well, especially as parents of Dottie, and for the godparents too, to be thinking about what it means then to follow Jesus, to know this life abundant, to receive this refreshment, and to have this vision before us that enables us to live through life and into eternity with God. And if you'd like to talk with me afterwards about that, or anyone else here, do feel free to do so. But let's pray together now. Let's talk to God. Father, thank you that you call us into life. And we pray that you'd help us in the receiving of that life, that we might know the goodness of all that you offer to us. Lord, help us to see and help us to receive. In your mercy. Amen.